in the limelight.
A study released recently by Barcelona's Hospital del Mar looking at the impact of the spring's COVID-19 surge on more than 9,000 healthcare workers across Spain found that at least 28% suffered major depression. But Jordi Alonso, one of the chief researchers, said that it is 6 times higher than the rate in the general population before the pandemic. We now present you a news report written by Renate Brito. The piece is titled Spain's Virus Surge Hits Mental Health of Frontline Workers. The news report has been published by the Associated Press News Agency. Please stay with us for more of Renate Brito's news report. The unrelenting increase in COVID-19 infections in Spain following the holiday season is again straining hospitals, threatening the mental health of doctors and nurses who have been at the forefront of the pandemic for nearly a year. In Barcelona's Hospital del Mar, the critical care capacity has more than doubled and is nearly full, with 80% of the intensive care unit beds occupied by coronavirus patients. Dr. José Ramón Masclans, who heads the intensive care unit, said, "There are young people of 20-something years old and older people of 80 years old, all the age groups," he added. "This is very difficult and it is one patient after another." Even though authorities allowed gatherings of up to 10 people for Christmas and the New Year celebrations, Dr. José Masclans chose not to join his family and spent the holidays at home with his friend. He said, "We did it to preserve our health and the health of others. And when you see that this isn't being done by others, it causes significant anger, added to the fatigue." A study released recently by Hospital del Mar in Barcelona, looking at the impact of the spring's COVID-19 surge on more than 9,000 healthcare workers across Spain, found that at least 28% suffered from major depression. Dr. Jordi Alonso, one of the chief researchers, said that it is 6 times higher than the rate in the general population before the pandemic. In addition, the study found that nearly half of the participants had a high risk of anxiety, a high risk of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, panic attacks, or substance and alcohol abuse problems. Spanish healthcare workers are far from the only ones to have suffered psychologically from the coronavirus pandemic. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, in China, the levels of mental disorders among doctors and nurses were even higher, with 50% reporting depression, 45% reporting anxiety, and 34% reporting insomnia. In the United Kingdom, a survey released recently by the Royal College of Physicians found that 64% of British doctors reported feeling tired or exhausted. 1 in 4 sought out mental health support. Dr. Andrew Goddard, president of the Royal College of Physicians, said in a statement accompanying the study, "It is pretty awful at the moment in the world of medicine." The statement added, "Hospital admissions are at their highest ever level. Staff are exhausted. And although there is light at the end of the tunnel, that light seems a long way away." Dr. Alex Carmona, a third-year anesthesiology resident in Spain's northeastern region of Catalonia, didn't have much intensive care unit experience before the coronavirus pandemic hit. But as surgeries were cancelled, Dr. Alex Carmona was summoned to the intensive care unit at the Moises Broggi Hospital outside Barcelona to fight a virus the world knew very little about. Dr. Carmona recalled, "In the beginning, we had a lot of adrenaline. We were very frightened, but we had a lot of energy." He plowed through the first weeks of the pandemic without having much time to process the unprecedented battle that was unfolding. It wasn't until after the second month that Dr. Alex Carmona began feeling the toll of seeing firsthand how people were slowly dying as they ran out of breath. He pondered what to tell patients before intubating them. His initial reaction had always been to reassure them, tell them it would be all right, but in some cases he knew that wasn't true. Dr. Carmona said, "I started having difficulty sleeping and a feeling of anxiety before each shift," adding, "I would return home after 12 hours feeling like I had been beaten up." For a while, he could only sleep with the help of medication. Some colleagues started taking antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs. What really helped Carmona, though, was a support group at his hospital, where his co-workers unloaded the experiences they had bottled up inside. But not everyone joined the group, for many asking for help would make them seem unfit for the job. David Oliver, a spokesman for the Catalonia chapter of the SATSA Union of Nurses, said, "In our profession, we can handle a lot." He added, "We don't want to take time off because we know we will add to the workload of our colleagues." According to the study, the most affected group of healthcare workers were nurses' aides and nurses, who are overwhelmingly women and often immigrants. They spent more time with dying COVID-19 patients facing poor working conditions and salaries and feared infecting their family members. Desiree Ruiz is the nurse supervisor at Hospital del Mar in Barcelona, in Barcelona's critical care unit. Some nurses on her team have asked to take time off work, unable to cope with the constant stress and all the deaths in the hospital. To prevent infections, patients are rarely allowed family visits, adding to their dependency on nurses. Desiree Ruiz said delivering a patient's last wishes or words to relatives on the phone is especially challenging. She said, "This is very hard for people who are holding the hand of these patients, even though they know they will end up dying." Desiree Ruiz, who organizes the nurses' shifts and makes sure the intensive care unit is always staffed adequately, is finding it harder and harder to do so. Unlike in the summer when the number of cases fell and healthcare workers were encouraged to take their holidays, doctors and nurses have been working incessantly since autumn when coronavirus cases picked up again. The latest resurgence has nearly doubled the number of daily cases seen in November, and Spain now has the third highest COVID-19 infection rate in Europe and the fourth highest death toll in Europe, with more than 50,400 confirmed fatalities. But unlike many European countries, including neighboring Portugal, the Spanish health minister has for now ruled out the possibility of a new lockdown, relying instead on less drastic restrictions that aren't as damaging to Spain's economy, but take longer to decrease the rate of infections. Dr. Jordi Alonso fears the latest surge of coronavirus patients could be as detrimental to the mental health of medical staff as the shock of the pandemic's first months. He said, "If we want to be cared for adequately, we also need to take care of the healthcare workers who have suffered and are still suffering."
are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The things that he did at that time for this revolution, if today we can say, like, if Iran has the constitution today, it's because of the hard working of Shahid Beheshti, the dedication that he had on this work.
This is a natural principle, that people are affected by the rulers.
One thing very obvious about his character that made him more influential was his management skills. Not only management skills, but in the more modern sense of it, leadership qualities. He was truly a leader. And when it came to him actually leading the whole group of scholars who were working on the Iranian constitution, you can see the high capability of this person.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher and analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers all across the world of Islam. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Dr. Murtaza Zazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome, and Dr. Zazadeh, assalamu alaikum brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Good to be here.
So in the new series of the program, The Teacher, we have started discussing the thoughts and speeches of Sayyid Mohammad Husseini Beheshti, mainly known as Shahid Beheshti in Iran. We know that he was one of the greatest jurists, philosophers, and thinkers of contemporary Iran, who was assassinated, unfortunately, at the very beginning of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. As usual, we play one Persian audio file of this great scholar, and then we'll discuss content of his speech. Let's listen to this Persian audio file, along with the English translation, and then we'll continue our discussion.
Ma'ad, yani tak tak ma insanha, pas az marg.
Resurrection denotes a day when every one of us, after death, will face an infinite period of existence, by when every single human being has to come up against all their good and bad deeds they committed before their demise. Resurrection for us is not a matter of monotheistic free society or multi-class society. That multi-class society is the hell, and monotheistic free society the same heaven. No, this is not what the Quran introduces as heaven and hell. A multi-class society is terribly ugly, rejected, and just like the hell, but it is not the hell described in the Quran. A monotheistic free society is so beautiful and similar to heaven, but not the real heaven. We believe in resurrection as to be for every single human being. Everyone will face resurrection, and not that the whole society will move in a historical process to reach the heaven or that monotheistic free society. And that first one is the true resurrection for humanity.
What you listened to was Shahid Beheshti regarding the topic of Ma'ad. This is the third episode on the concept of Ma'ad. Since it is very controversial and complicated, we try to discuss it in detail with the presence of Dr. Murtaza Zazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Okay, Dr. Zazadeh, a very important question, and what Shahid Beheshti also is referring to, is a society without classes. I mean, he criticized this concept and this thought that a society without classes is not the heaven that we are talking about after the phase of Ma'ad or resurrection. Now, the question is, nowadays in the 21st century, we see so many people looking for their rights. We can say from the women to the young to the black to the colored people. Minorities in different countries are looking for their rights, And this shows that a society with class exists. The people whose payments are lower than the other ones, or the justice is not at all observed in the payments or the wages among the people of the society. Now my question is this: how the concept of ma'ad would help us in removing the concept of discrimination from a society? We know that Shahid Beheshti says discrimination among the classes of the society, removing it does not mean ma'ad. But at the same time, how we can use the concept of ma'ad to remove discrimination in a society?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, in order to answer this question, let me use a hadith from the Holy Prophet, a very famous hadith that maybe all of us have heard, but it's really a very profound saying that we need to reflect on that very much. Even Shahid Athani, the great scholar, Zainuddin Muhammad,
known as Shahid Athani,
and he's one of the greatest scholars in the Shi'i history, in the Islamic history in general, we can say, has an independent treatise on this very hadith. That hadith says, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." You know, this world is a farm for the other world.
Okay.
Because it sounds to be very clear, but it has so many implications that if people want to know more about it, they should refer to that book. But if I want to answer your question based on this hadith, we say, yes, you know, we have some good concepts or good, let's say, good deeds or good actions or good, let's say, ideals that we want them to happen in our society or in ourselves.
That's right.
If we want to give a good, let's say, motive for those things to happen in the society, we really need to pay attention to this hadith. Every single action that we do, every single thing that happens in this world is like a seed that we plant in our farm. So if you are working on making this society a better society, a society which is free from any discrimination, we really need to always have in mind that we are working in the way of God.
Okay.
That is, I think, the only way that we can actually connect these two concepts. Making a society which is free from discrimination, making a society which is based on justice, is one of the best deeds that a person can do, society can actually pursue. So if we are doing that, actually we are making a better situation for ourselves in the future. But again, I want to just say that we should not limit the concept of ma'ad to this worldly life, to making a class-free society.
That's right. Because whenever we are talking about the paradise and the hell and the heaven, the first thing that comes to our mind is the other world.
Yes.
The other world. And this has its own shortcomings. I think the concept of ma'ad is very much limited to the other world. We do not think and we do not have this ma'ad type of thinking in our daily lives. I mean, if we want to have a society full of justice or without any discrimination, this concept of ma'ad, thinking about the consequences and the results of our actions in the other world, can help us very much. But the modern movements are limiting themselves to some criterion, standards, and constitutions that are only applicable to the physical world and not the other world.
Yes.
This is what point was regarding this question.
You're right. And, you know, if people think that way, I mean, in a proper way, so that they do not forget the other world, they will be much more motivated to work for
making
a better society in this world.
Okay.
Let's imagine this. I mean, two different case scenarios. One is that we do our best in order to achieve something in this very short physical life that we have. The second case scenario is that we do the same good thing, but in order to achieve something in this world and in the other world, in order to achieve something which is endless, which is limitless, which will be rewarded in another world in addition to what we gain in this world. So, I mean, naturally, logically, in which of these case scenarios will be more motivated to work for?
That's right.
Definitely when I see that I gain more for the same thing with just being mindful of the other world, that will give me much more motive to work for that.
And these are the problems, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, we are facing nowadays in the world. War everywhere. We can say looking for more wealth, the money, dollars, you know. I don't know, stock markets and, how can I say, sorry to say, rape. And all these, we can say, the powers and the anger that exists in today's world. At the same time, the people are looking for the solutions in the same field. I mean, the same physical, constitutional field that they're looking for their rights. But I think Ma'at can help us very much in this regard, isn't it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, that is true. Obviously, Ma'ad, then it reminds you of the hereafter. And when you know that you're accountable for what you have done in hereafter, you will be very much careful.
That's right.
In the Quran, Surah Al-Zalzala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does the good and atom's weight will see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And whoever does ill an atom's weight,
right,
will see it.
Okay.
So if we have this ma'ad in our daily life, we need to remember. That's why, you know, in the Islam, it is recommended to go and visit the graves of family members,
yeah,
obviously, who
the
passed away.
The deceased ones, that's
the
right.
The deceased ones. Why? Because when you go there, you will know that, after all, I have to come here.
Mm-hmm.
This is my last destination,
okay,
in this world.
That's right.
Whatever I have, the money, the wealth, the children, everyone will remain in this world.
That's right.
And the only thing which I will have, obviously, this grave and my body,
yeah,
and my soul will transfer to,
yes,
another world. On top of that, you know, when we are talking about the class-free society, we need to define what does this class-free society means.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a worldly meaning of this class-free society and there is a Quranic meaning.
Mm-hmm.
In both ways, obviously, in the Quran, even in the Ma'ad, we see classes as well. Why? Because the prophets, they are the leaders.
Okay.
The A'imma, the saints, they are the leaders. And we will be obviously gathered with them. And they will be the leaders over there as well. So there is a class, obviously, in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like, the one who knows and the one who does not know, they're not equal.
That's right.
The one who does the good deed and the bad deed, they're not the equal.
That's right.
Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The one who is near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the pious one,
okay,
who God varies. So there is a class, obviously. Someone who have less taqwa, for example, is not equal to one who has the more taqwa. Yes, there is a definition of Quranic, like the Quranic definition of classes that has been said. In this world, we can see, obviously, there is a master, there is a leader in the shape of a prophet or imam. And they're the rest who are following them.
Right.
They're not the equal. There is a class there. But on top of that, we can see the same leader is living like the poorest person in the world,
mm-hmm,
in the society.
Okay.
So this discrimination of worldly, we can say, like, or material, we can say status, that is not seen in the eyes of Quran or in the eyes of Allah or in the Ma'ad, in the hereafter. The actual thing is your deeds. You will be divided into different classes because of your deeds,
mm-hmm,
on the basis of your taqwa that you have.
But these classes,
but
are
not these classes,
yeah,
that you have,
yeah,
money, so you will get,
yeah,
the better place in the paradise,
yeah,
or maybe you can do the confession.
Yes. Or these classes or tabaqa that,
yes,
are given by social movements to you. No, it is not. It is not the criteria.
It is not the criteria.
There's
it is
okay.
not the criteria. Maybe
okay.
there is a person who have nothing,
okay,
but his deeds are
in
perfect.
The eyes of Allah.
In the eyes of Allah,
he is
the most atqakum.
As happened about Prophet Muhammad, you know, at his time there were so many wealthy people around him,
yes,
but he was given the best class of the society.
And
okay.
And the main point, like where the Jews or the Bani Israel, obviously they had the fight. They said, we are the afdal, for example, the greaters,
yeah,
of the mankind.
Yeah.
Why Allah did not send a prophet from amongst us?
We are the nobles.
You know, the battle of Khaybar,
yes,
that happened, and the Jews, why this was happening is because they were thinking like the prophet should come from the Jews,
mm-hmm,
not the sons of the, we can say like Ismail alayhi salam. Obviously, there were two sons of,
yes,
the Ishaq and,
yes,
Ismail, the sons of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, you know, these are the thinking, this material thinking that we have in this world.
Okay.
And the problems that we have and why we are looking for the solutions materially, it's because there is an hadith, annasu ala dini mulukihi.
That's right.
That the people are following the religion of their, like,
leaders.
Their leaders or
that's
the rich people.
That's all right.
They look at the rich people, what they are doing. That's why, you know, whenever we had a king in a country being a Muslim, the country was, for example, the territory was Muslim.
Yes.
It was a Christian. We had these crusade wars and all those things.
Okay.
These are because of this.
Okay.
So we need to go beyond this world,
material,
and look for the solutions beyond this.
Thank you much, Dr. Reza Zadan Said Mosenawi, for a fruitful discussion regarding the concept of Ma'ad. This was our third episode regarding the concept of Ma'ad according to one speech, one part of the speech of Shahid Ayatollah Beheshti. It was very kind of you. And dear listeners, thank you much for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. You can download for free our other episodes of this program on our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also visit our YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us present you a supplication to the Lord Most High by the Holy Prophet's Immaculate Daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. O Allah, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over creation, keep me alive so long as you know that life is good for me, and cause me to die when death is good for me.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/EN.
Apparently in the UK, the COVID-19 virus has mutated into a different strain, one that is much more powerful and a more transmissible strain. Matt Hancock, the UK's health minister, said a new variant of the virus is up to 70% more transmissible was getting out of control.
I understand they're coming down in November, but you could have predicted that they might be going back up again in 4 weeks' time. This is an extremely unpredictable virus.
Well, as you say, it's very unpredictable. And
why did you make that promise?
Well, it's very unpredictable because we understand, I understand, how important Christmas is to people who've been looking forward to it all year.
In England at present, some 17 million people are under Tier 4 rules. That's the highest level where people are being told to stay at home and not to leave the area.
And I'm off oxygen, feeling stronger all the time, you know. Still quite emotional. It's frightening.
People don't realise what's going on in here. If you don't see it firsthand, they won't know. They think everything's hunky-dory. It's not.
The dark red area, London and the South East, is in Tier 4 with the toughest restrictions because of the spread of the variant of the virus. Orange shows those parts of England in Tier 2, some of which are bordering that Tier 4 block.
Our political editor, Gary Gibbon, is in Westminster. Gary.
Well, on the specific problem of truck drivers being able to get into France, the government really does feel that an easing of that problem, if not a complete solution, is on the way.
To make matters worse, researchers in the UK believe that there are going to be even more difficult times ahead for Britons.
I think that we are in strict measures for some weeks to come. We absolutely need to try and get the R number below one, at least in most regions of the UK, and it's well above that now. So I think we need to recognise that January and well into February are going to be very difficult.
The number of people that have tested positive for the virus in the UK has increased to record highs despite the rollout of a vaccine. With the recent surge in COVID-19 cases, London began to reactivate its emergency field hospitals, known as Nightingale Hospitals, to cope with the crisis.
A realistic timeline that things will be much better by late spring. But of course, this is a global pandemic and we want to vaccinate in all countries of the world. So keeping an eye on international travel and how we move around the globe is going to be very important well into 2022, actually, just until we're confident about vaccination levels in a range of different countries.
Aside from the mutation of the virus, experts believe that there was also another underlying issue that has contributed to the high death toll there. The recent record UK COVID-19 death rate is being blamed on pre-existing inequality. Pre-existing social inequalities contributed to the UK recording the highest death rates from COVID-19 in Europe, according to a new report titled Build Back Fairer. The report is written by Michael Marmot, a professor of epidemiology at University College London, director of the UCL Institute of Health Equity, and past president of the World Medical Association. The report says that families at the bottom of the social and economic scale were missing out before the pandemic and were now suffering even more, losing health, jobs, lives, and educational opportunities. According to the report, men and women living in overcrowded conditions in the most deprived areas of the country are the most likely to die from COVID. Carers and those who work in the leisure and service industries have the highest death rates under the age of 64. People from Black, Asian and ethnic minority groups who work as taxi drivers, bus drivers, security guards, carers and other low-paid occupations have a higher risk of death. Children and young people living in deprived areas had suffered disproportionately from lockdown. Previous policy by the UK government have contributed to this inequality, including cutting the budget for Public Health England in 2012 by 40%, and the spending on public health in local government was cut by about $1.10 billion. This has compounded the dire situation in the UK. The UK never recovered from its first wave of the coronavirus. Millions have lost their jobs since the beginning of 2020. 1 in 20 people in the UK had already lost their jobs due to the coronavirus when YouGov conducted a poll back in April of 2020. Also, applications for Universal Credit, the government's benefit system, are sky high, with nearly 500,000 claims in 9 days as of last week. This has left many Britons forced to take handouts from charities to satisfy their hunger.
I had half a bag of rice and a tub of butter because I hadn't been able to go out and do my food shopping. This really helped me out because I was thinking, when's my next meal going to be, or when am I going to be able to go out and get any food shopping?
Many are also left without money to pay their rent and now face evictions.
To come through this and then you don't suddenly stop wages come in my account. I'm like, whoa, what am I going to do now? Landlord, what I want to say to landlord, you might keep me for 3 months. After 3 months, you ain't going to keep me. You kick me out. They ain't going to bother about this little coronavirus and stuff. You don't pay, you don't stay.
Now charities believe that there is going to be a lot more people in need of help as the new coronavirus strain takes its toll.
We're going to see a lot more people that we never maybe considered as vulnerable before, now needing that food. And some of those people potentially were previously what was classed as the working poor. There were a lot of households where even though everyone in that household worked, they were still struggling to put food on the table. So to now not have that income means that we're going to see a lot of people in crisis that we just wouldn't expect to see before.
In fact, a report by the Public Health England published in August 2020 found that the COVID-19 was spreading faster in those living in the more deprived areas than those living in the least deprived areas. This means that these people who were in need are even more needier now, living in circumstances they wouldn't have thought of. This is especially true with the rising COVID-19 crisis there.
I mean, as we're going out and we're delivering the food, you can feel the desperation with some families that are so, you know, it's so needy at the moment. And things are only going to get worse as time goes on. I know that the self-employed are not going to get anything from the government until about June. I mean, what about those people? They're going to need food on their tables. I just think it's going to get more and more intense.
While it is too early to predict the true economic consequences of Britain's departure from the single market, already there are signs that the country's fragile food system will need to be rapidly updated in order to protect families, especially those on lower incomes. And now with Brexit, researchers expect tragic rise in food prices and increased inequality in the UK. The amount of food distributed by the charity organisation Trussell Trust, which runs around 1,200 of the country's 2,000 food banks, rose 73% in the past 5 years, with around 500,000 emergency food supplies going to children last year. Worst of all, inequality, the fundamental problem of the rising COVID-19 death rate in the UK, is growing too. Compared to other developed countries, the UK has a very unequal distribution of income. Almost a quarter of all household wealth in the UK is held by the richest 1% of the population, according to alarming new research by the Office for National Statistics, with data from the Sunday Times Rich List. The study reveals a historic underestimation of inequality in the country. As the country faces its biggest crisis since World War II, for millions of people, the government's financial aid will be too little, too late.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listener of IRIB English Radio, today's special, salam and welcome to this program. Today we're going to speak about Allah in our daily life.
يا الله يا رحمن حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا يا الله يا منان حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا
Grateful today for difference and change for all colors and shades Cause you made it this way وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا
Today, Wednesday, is the 13th of Jamadi Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. And the 27th of January, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Al Imran, verse 159.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم. ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين
So by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, You were lenient with them. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and consult them in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The content of this verse from chapter Al-Imran works as some general instructions. By the revelation of the verses about the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims who had ran away in the Battle of Uhud and were defeated were burning in the fire of regret, remorse, and sorrow. They gathered around the Prophet Muhammad and apologized. Then the Lord issued the command of their general pardon by this verse. Also, besides contemplation and consultation and reliance in Allah, are beloved with Allah, whether we attain the aim or not.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Now, the signs of God in our daily life. Knowing God and the sense of responsibility. Dear friend, we know a doctor who, when poor people visit him, not only does he not get money from them for the visit, but he gives them money and drugs. And if he senses a danger for that person, he will stay all night in his home. There are people who worship Allah and have faith, but also know a doctor who, until the money of the visit is not paid, he will not take the first step for the sick person because he does not have a strong faith. A person who has faith, no matter what his or her profession is, senses responsibility, knows his or her duties, does good, readily forgives, and constantly sees a spiritual policeman within his or her soul who watches over one's deeds. But people who lack faith are selfish and dangerous people who have no sense of responsibility. Oppression, suppression, and aggression against the rights of others is easy for them, and they are less prepared to do good. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role of feeling the presence of God in our daily life. Spiritually speaking, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does have its own positive influence in that those people who are always considerate of the presence, of the active presence of God in their lives, they are associates of the, they can be regarded as if they are associates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a piece of divine discourse, hadith Qudsi, in that it's indicated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. I am the associate of whoever remembers me. Elsewhere it's indicated, فَذَكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَأَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Be mindful of my presence, I mean, remember me, so that I will remember you, and be grateful to me, be thankful to me, and never be ungrateful. We find that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth infallible Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, indicated it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed all people, instructed mankind, to be always considered of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't neglect or overlook, I mean, man, and that whoever is mindful of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his private moments, certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be considerate of him or her, especially at the time of his or her needs. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and this part entitled Relying on Allah in Our Daily Lives. Reflection on this universe is one from the list of steps on relying on Allah. How many forces must come together with perfect coordination before a seed can sprout? What keeps this immensely complex universe working so flawlessly, from the simplest to the most complex things? There are indeed pointers to the Creator in every atom of everything in this universe, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day. There are indeed signs for people of understanding.
people who are remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying down. They realize that Allah did not create all this without purpose. Glory to Allah. It is pointed to chapter 3 from the Holy Quran, verses 190 and 191. This ability and capacity to think deeply about things is the light of a Muslim.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Easy ways to remember Allah. One way is reading an ayah of the Holy Quran a day. Start incorporating the recitation of the Quran daily and build a relationship with it slow and steady. The reciting at the very least just one ayah a day, reflecting on its meaning and implementing its lessons into your daily life when possible. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "Whoever reads one letter from the Book of Allah, the Holy Quran, will earn one reward thereby. One reward is equal to 10 rewards, the like of it. I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is a letter, but Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter." Don't worry, dear friend, if you feel like you aren't very fluent in reciting the Holy Quran. Everybody starts somewhere, and the effort is so worth it.
In this world, God has given you the opportunity to make yourself qualified. Now, not everything's pre-programmed, no. Some things are programmed, yes. Did you choose your parents? Who chose his parents here? That was something decided by God, not you. Where you were born, did you choose that? No. Your physical features, the color of your eyes, did you choose that? No. Some things are pre-programmed by God. But aside from that, you have the free will. You decide. Allah makes it very clear in the Quran, we gave the human beings two paths. You could either go left, the wrong path, or go right to the right path. That's your willpower. God gave you, first of all, the intellect to decide what's right from what's wrong, the power of reason. And secondly, he sent you prophets and divine books to help you with that. So the reason why God created us is to have mercy on us. But how can we realize or actualize that complete level of mercy to be qualified to go to heaven? Because the ultimate mercy is in heaven, in paradise. You have to be qualified for that mercy.
That was all for today's special. Thank you so much for being with us till the end of our program. Till another episode of today's special. May Allah keep you safe.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they are guiding me through.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.